Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Special coverage of the airplane crash that took the life of Republican computer guru Mike Connell on Friday night in Akron, Ohio. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and Cliff Arnbeck, the attorney from Columbus, who deposed Mike Connell. That's right, he took a deposition, that's what that means, on the day before our November 4th elections, just this past year. And we'll get the attorney on the line shortly here. I think he made an appearance on Lou Dobbs' program tonight, and so he will be checking back with us as soon as he clears there. Brad, I wanted to just see if there's anything you want to add before we go to Cliff Arnbeck here.
Well, I've noticed that one point that was made, I'm not sure if it was a commenter or an emailer, but one curious note here is that as high-ranking as Mike Connell was, and with, you know, having worked on Bush's campaign and McCain's campaign and the email system and everything else, isn't it curious that there has been no statement, to my knowledge, on the passing of Mike Connell coming out of the White House or from Karl Rove or anybody else at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think, I suspect, even had Jack Abramoff met an untimely death, that there would have been some form of recognition from the White House. But in this Connell case, absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Well, I think that is an important point to raise, and as we follow this story, it'll be very interesting to see if there is acknowledgement from the White House on these issues. And I just learned that Cliff Arnbeck will be on Lou Dobbs tomorrow, so we've got that straightened out. Mr. Arnbeck, welcome back to our program. Nice to talk with you again.
Nice to be with you, Peter.
And Brad Friedman is with us as well. I know you two have spoken because Brad's interview with you is up at bradblog.com.
Howdy,
hey, Brad.
Good
to talk to you.
So, Cliff, what would you like? Where would you like to start? We've discussed the incident. We've discussed the history of Mike Connell. I'd like to ask you to comment on the warnings that were issued to Mike Connell about his life that have been attributed to Karl Rove, and the unusual steps that you took, asking judges, or at least one judge, to protect Mike Connell from the threats that had been made.
Well, there were two threats. The first came shortly after the news conference we had July 17th this year, where we identified Connell as a key witness against Karl Rove.
I apologize for that feedback. I'll try to fix that. Keep talking.
And the tipster said that Rove was threatening Connell and indicating that he would not be given a pardon, and that his wife, Heather, would be prosecuted if he implicated Rove or anyone else in this, that he was to take the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there were two or three additional tips, and then closer to the time of the actual deposition, the tipster indicated that the tipster said Connell is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more ominous in its tone than the original tip talking about the threat of prosecution of the wife.
And do you know how these threats were delivered?
Our understanding from the tipster is that they were not delivered directly from Rove to Connell, but rather through Jeff Averbeck.
Mm-hmm. And who is Jeff?
Jeff Averbeck is the president of Smart Tech.
I see. Okay. And did Mike Connell take these threats seriously?
Well, the tipster didn't say anything about that because they were deemed to be credible by the people who have knowledge of the players and knowledge of the situation. We took them as serious threats, and that's why we communicated to the Attorney General of the United States, to the Attorney General of the State of Ohio, and to the federal court in which we had a pending case where we had designated Connell as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically said that a witness that we've identified in this for purposes of this federal litigation is being subjected to intimidation, and we ask that everything be done to protect the witness.
And what was the response from first Attorney General Mukasey's office and then the Ohio Attorney General?
Well, the Ohio Attorney General agreed at that point to lift the stay in the case that we had pending in federal court, and to specifically for the purpose of taking the deposition of Michael Connell. And so that was their response. It was to bring him into the court system through the discovery process.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Attorney General, we did not have a response, but I began to communicate with the a high official there whom I know personally. And when I called his office, his secretary was very cordial, seemed to be familiar enough that she gave me his direct telephone number and his email. So I have been emailing him information, keeping him informed about this.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was that if probably Rove would know, because we were reporting broadly that we were advising the Justice Department, in as much as Rove has been a target of the Patrick Fitzgerald inquiry as special counsel into the Wilson Plain matter,
mm-hmm.
and is now a target on the
U.S. attorneys
firing of the U.S. attorneys,
right,
and the politicization of the Justice Department. I thought that by keeping this in the sights of the Justice Department, that we were protecting Connell from any harm.
Mm-hmm. And then just one more, Brad, and then I'll go to you. What was the reaction of the court? And how did you get that date right before the general election this past November for the deposition?
Well, what I said to the court, there are two courts involved. One is the federal district judge in Columbus and in the southern district, and then the district judge in Cleveland in the northern district. And both of them cooperated in getting Connell into the court system,
mm-hmm.
and so we got the deposition. What we did is ask for first we got an order from the Northern District to have a hearing, oral hearing, on the motion of Connell's lawyers had filed to quash our subpoena, and then secondly we asked the court to amend its order to require the presence of the party, that is Michael Connell, and then we asked the court to enforce a requirement of deposition before the election, and that occurred. The hearing on the motion occurred on Friday before the election,
right?
And the deposition occurred on Monday, the day before the election.
I recall. Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, Cliff, I want to get into a couple of details from that deposition, but first, just to confirm here, is it fair to say that we know that Mukasey did not get back to you after you sent him this request for protection for Connell, and I reported that in the interview that we had earlier today. But is it fair to say that no law enforcement officials, whether it be federal or in Ohio, responded in any way to this request for protection that you sent out after these threats supposedly came in from Karl Rove?
Well, I would say that I was communicating to the court in Columbus that the chambers that I was communicating to people who were in touch with Connell that the court would protect him, and I trust court down here and I felt confident, and by telling the court what I was telling, putting the word out to Connell that the court would extend its full protection. What we were trying to do is to get Connell to come into the court and take the steps he needed to take to secure that cooperation. And I felt that had Connell come into the court, that the court would have called the U.S. attorney, the head of the FBI in Columbus. He would have brought someone from the attorney general's office in, and in the face of the kind of intimidation that was being reported, the court would have done everything that could be done to protect him. But in terms of the court taking that kind of action without the person allegedly subject to intimidation stepping forward, I think that's probably asking too much.
Well, it sounds as if the court reacted, but it doesn't sound as if law enforcement on any level reacted. Did Connell himself acknowledge these threats in any of these hearings? In other words, a hearing the Friday before the general election where the judge compelled him to give his deposition on Monday, did the topic of these threats come up at all, and did Connell or his attorneys acknowledge them in any way?
Well, in the hearing on Friday, it's a matter of public record. All the conversation was in open court. There was a transcript, which is we've made available to media, and in that hearing before the judge, Connell was sitting there the whole time, and I was saying that we wanted to inquire into the reported intimidation against him. His lawyers didn't say anything like, "Well, we want to assure the court that there's been no intimidation of this witness." And this is all nonsense. They didn't say anything like that. They certainly didn't say we acknowledge that there's been intimidation, and we would seek to let's go into chambers and let's hash this out and see what we can do with the court's assistance to protect our client. Nothing like that occurred. It was just my saying that was an area of inquiry that we wanted to make in the deposition if we were allowed to take the deposition.
And then as you were allowed to take that deposition, I know the judge gave certain restrictions on what perhaps what you could ask, or at least what needed to remain sealed. When we move forward now to the Monday before the election last month, you sit him down in this deposition. Was he then asked about those threats, and did he respond, or is that some of the material that is required to be sealed at this point?
Yeah, in the Friday hearing, the lawyer for Mr. Connell requested that the any discussion of intimidation be asked and answered under seal, and I agreed to that, and the court ordered that. The second area that was to be sealed was any discussion of trade secrets, and we agreed. We said there was going to be discussion of trade secrets, but if there were, that would be agreeable to us.
All right. Gentlemen, let's pause for a second. I want to talk to Laura, who's calling from New York. Hi, Laura. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with attorney Cliff Arnbeck and publisher Brad Friedman.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm calling just because I want to mention... I'm hearing myself.
Yeah, I can't... Just plow right through it. We've got too many callers on the air right now, but go right ahead.
Okay. I happen to have run into about a year ago, looking at researching something else online, I happen to have run into something that a ex-intelligence agent said was kind of a well-known black bag way of killing either a driver or a pilot,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, wouldn't necessarily be considered, but I would like, you know, anyway. The deal is that in these black bag jobs, one easy way of getting rid of somebody is to put a strong knockout drug dissolved in a particular solvent, DMSO, that goes mm-hmm. right through skin. In fact, that was the way that pharmacist accidentally discovered LSD, because he was DMSO was a new solvent at the time, and they didn't realize it.
Okay. Let me ask for comment, Lauren. I'm going to put you on hold so you don't get the feedback there. I consider it a little early to speculate on these things, but Cliff, do you have any comment?
Well, there are criminal techniques for killing people that are designed to not be detected,
mm-hmm.
and I have heard of that technique used by organized crime against you know, truckers. You know, put this on the driver's you know, driver on the steering wheel.
Yeah. Okay, Brad, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. Real quick, Cliff, do you have any reason? I know that they didn't get back to you when you were asking for protection for Connell in the first place. Now, as you told me earlier, you've asked the Justice Department to seriously examine what may have happened here in this crash. Have they gotten back to you to indicate that that would happen? And do you feel that at this point we may as well wait until January 20th before we get a legitimate investigation out of this Department of Justice?
Well, I take Mukasey at his word, and look at the fact that they have they did have the special counsel investigating the Wilson plane matter, and they currently have a special counsel from Connecticut who's investigating the firing of the U.S. attorneys. I also the person that I'm communicating with is the is a career civil service guy. He's a straight arrow, and I feel that he's going to do something here. I would hope, and I will put a phone call in to reiterate my email urging this action.
And you can describe your diplomatic comment there on this interview, Cliff. I don't share quite your confidence in the Mukasey Justice Department, but I will defer to you in this matter. We're going to take a break and return. Attorney Cliff Arnbeck with us from Columbus, Ohio. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're talking about the remarkable incident in Akron, Ohio last Friday night when Mike Connell's plane crashed and he died. And as you heard, Mike Connell knows a lot about the Republican computer systems that may have played a role in gaming the election, the presidential election in Ohio in 2004. We'll pick up there in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. For full coverage of the death of Mike Connell and the airplane crash in Akron on Friday night, go to bradblog.com. There's a lot of great information there, including references to an interview that Brad did earlier today with attorney Cliff Arnbeck, who's also on the line with us from Columbus, Ohio. And Brad, if I can steal one of your questions,
sure.
Cliff, how far does this set back the investigation that you have underway into the 2004 presidential results from Ohio?
Well, first, there are statements that Mr. Connell has made which are in the nature of exceptions to the hearsay rule. It's called an admission against interest. And so there is a mechanism by which certain statements can come into the court proceeding, even in the absence of Mr. Connell to testify.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question that not having Mr. Connell, who is extraordinarily intelligent, pervasively involved in this technical area, and who is a guy, according to the people who know him, is a guy that has a conscience. He's not a sociopath. He's not a criminal type of person. It's a loss to not have his further testimony available.
Yeah, Brad.
Yeah, if we can pick up on something before the break, real quickly, Cliff. In his deposition, the attorneys, Connell's attorney, said that they wanted any questions about the threats that they wouldn't comment on, but they wanted those questions to remain sealed, as well as questions about trade secrets for his company. While I can understand still wishing to keep those trade secrets sealed if they came up in the deposition, at this point, shouldn't it be public information if, in fact, that there were threats? And can you at least confirm whether or not you asked them about this and whether they acknowledged the threats without going into the details?
The court order is that any question and any answer on that subject is sealed. Now, it's quite possible that in view of the circumstances that the other side, Mr. Connell's lawyers may say that they're willing to have the entire deposition unsealed and released at this point, or it may be possible that the judge would rule that in the circumstances it should be public record. So, but at this point, I'm not at liberty to discuss either the questions or the answer in that area.
And pardon me for trying here, but again, but, is it fair to say that there were questions and that they did answer them without going into the any details about what that answer was?
I think it would be fair to conclude that based upon the hearing on Friday that there were questions and answers on that subject.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, and would you move to unseal those the deposition and those portions that have been sealed?
The only portion that's sealed right now is the questions and answers on intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pending letter requesting in-camera review of certain portions. It's either two or three portions of the transcript that the Connell lawyers are asking be sealed as trade secrets.
Okay, and Cliff,
I disagreed in the open court, and I disagreed in the discussions with the judge in the middle of the deposition that these should be sealed. And I don't think the judge is going to allow them to be sealed, so I think they will become public.
Okay, and Cliff, I just have about 30 seconds. What would you like to mention that we haven't asked you about that's important here?
Well, I think that somebody asked me if it was, I think Brad asked me if there's anything that shocked me about this, or somebody asked me that. I was just sitting in a public restaurant with the cable television on, and it shocks me that Karl Rove is standing there talking as though he's an authority on everything, and as he's a proper participant in our civil society. This man should be in jail.
All right, Cliff Arnbeck, thank you very much. Brad Friedman, thank you. We'll talk again in the new year.
Thank you, sir. Have a Merry Christmas.
Read it at bradblog.com.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.